Part 3. In this part of the test, you will hear three short segments from a radio program. The program is called Learning from the Experts. Each talk lasts about 2 minutes. As you listen, you may want to take notes to help you remember information given in the talk. Write your notes in the space provided. After each talk, you will be asked some questions about what was said. From the three answer choices given, you should choose the one which best answers the question according to the information you heard. Remember, no problems can be repeated. For problems 36 through 50, mark your answers on the separate answer sheet. Do you have any questions? Now you will hear segment 1.
Killing a porpoise can haunt a man, even a fisherman accustomed to life and death at sea. With us in the studios today is Eric Anderson, a fisherman who has fished New England's waters for 30 years. Eric, how often does it actually happen that you personally haul up your nets and find a porpoise?
Well, before we decided to do something about it, it happened to me on average, say, 6 or 7 times a year. And it wasn't pretty. You'd haul up the net, and there was a porpoise, entangled and dying, trapped along with the other fish you'd caught. And every time it happened, I got really upset. From statistics I've read, it's clear that up until recently, an average of 2,000 porpoises were drowning in nets in the Gulf of Maine each year, enough to eventually wipe out the species.
Wow, I thought there were laws protecting porpoises in that area from local fisheries.
You're absolutely right. If we continued at that rate, there was a real threat that the already struggling fisheries in the area would be closed by federal authorities.
So knowing that your livelihood was in danger, what action did you take?
Well, we finally realized that we had to take matters into our own hands. Some of my mates had read some fascinating stuff on acoustics, written by a Canadian whale behaviorist a few years ago. And that's when we decided to start experimenting with our nets.
What exactly did you do?
The first thing we did was to hook ourselves up with some equipment. So we trotted down to a local electronics shop and purchased a batch of box-like devices that were designed for school buses. You know the thing, those gadgets that are attached to school buses and make a beeping sound when the buses back up. Well, we had an expert modify the boxes, and we tied them onto our nets and set them into the Gulf of Maine. The idea was that the boxes would give off a low-frequency alarm that would warn off the dolphins so they would avoid the nets. It was decidedly low-tech, and risky at that, but amazingly, the porpoises heard the alarms and swam off. Rarely did any become trapped.
And from what you've told me before we came on the air, the idea caught on and is now being used all over the world.
That's right. The word has spread from fisherman to fisherman, and the sound of ping, ping, ping can now be heard in ocean waters from South Africa to the Irish Sea.
Yes, now that you mention it, the devices are called pingers, aren't they? Why is that?
Obviously from the sound they make, which is something like this. The devices are programmed to broadcast pings every 4 seconds at a level as close to the background noise of the ocean as possible, while still being loud enough for an animal to hear at least 100 meters away, and plenty of time to change course. The net alarms are considered so successful in protecting marine animals that a federal order recently made them mandatory on drift nets off California and Oregon, and sink nets in New England. Amazingly, dolphin and porpoise deaths have dropped by 2/3 on the West Coast, with only 90 animals dying last year, compared with a past average of 271 per year. On the East Coast, porpoise deaths in the Gulf of Maine have declined more than 90%.
What have marine scientists and conservation groups had to say about all this?
Well, the marine scientists were skeptical at first, but many are now confident that the pingers have saved the lives of many marine animals. Yet they don't fully understand why they work or what impact the noise might have on ocean creatures. They warn that pingers are not a cure-all. and they worry that the use of the devices is spreading faster than the science behind them. Conservation groups also endorse pingers, but they, too, wonder if the undersea cacophony could disrupt nature in ways we don't understand. Or if dolphins and porpoises can get so used to the pings that they may start ignoring them.
Well, for sure, there's still many questions to be answered. But for now, no one, it seems, is doubting that pingers may offer the last and best hope for endangered sea mammals and the fisheries that were endangering them. Thanks for being with us today.
Now you will hear questions 36 through 40. 36. Why were Anderson and his colleagues so concerned about the porpoises that were killed in their nets? 37. What prompted the fishermen to start experimenting with their nets? 38. How do pingers work? 39. What is true about pingers? 40. How do marine scientists and conservation groups feel about pingers?